What comes to mind when you hear the word intimacy? Do you think of being curled up on the couch next to someone you love, talking for hours on end? Does it make you blush a little when you think of that word? Do you think of time in adoration or a deep prayer experience? Or perhaps all of these? What other words are there to describe such an experience? Closeness? Love? Being tight? Union? Union defined as joining together two or more different things? You see, at its core, brothers and sisters, we all long for intimacy on all sorts of different levels. We are called to intimacy because we are defined by the God who is intimate. Now, in our world, we know intimacy primarily through marriage. Never is the idea of union more evident than in marriage. Two different beings becoming one. And not just physically, but over time, in mind and in heart. You see, it's not just about the physical, but about the spiritual as well. This is why marriage is a sacrament, a visible sign, a fleshly sign, something you can experience through your senses that leads you to something invisible, that is God. We have this tendency to think of intimacy in purely human terms. And intimacy certainly is about relationship. But remember that God is defined by relationship. The Father eternally begetting the Son returning His love to the Father. From this love between Father and Son, who in the Gospel today says they are one. So close is that relationship that the two become one. Sound like anything else you know? That their love spirates the Holy Spirit, eternally spirates the Holy Spirit. You see, God is intimacy. And what we tend to do is what we call anthropomorphize. We tend to take our human experiences and ascribe them to God instead of working from the top down, recognizing that intimacy is what and who God is, and we are made in that image and likeness. You see, to understand true intimacy, we must first understand the one who created it. Now, in our culture right now, we're having all sorts of discussions and arguments and problems with what makes one human, what makes one male and female, what makes two people intimate. And we cannot understand that unless we understand the one who created it. In Great Britain some years ago, they did a study of newborn babies and their moms. 31 newborn babies had their cries recorded. So 31 cries, as if one wasn't enough. And they would play 5 of them back to the mom. One of them would be the cry of their baby. 4 of them would be the cry of another baby. And they would ask the mom to see if she could identify her own baby's cry. Now, in day 1 and day 2, half of those 31 mothers figured it out in only 2 days. By day 3, all of them could identify their own baby's cry. In 3 days, all of those moms could identify a cry apart from any other. And if a mother is that sensitive to the voice of her child, then how much more sensitive is the God who has created you to your voice? Our gospel verse says today, I know my sheep and mine know me. Our gospel says, my sheep hear my voice. Psalm 139, I knit you in my mother's womb, in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I knew you through and through. Now, if that doesn't describe intimacy, what does? And so many of us approach God like he's either a duty, an obligation, a guy with a big stick, a guy who makes rules. And when we're little kids, that's how we perceive our whole lives, right? Our teachers make rules, our parents make rules, we get spanked or punished if we break those rules. But we got to grow up. We can't spend our lives approaching God in that same way. Just like your relationship with your siblings and your parents matures, so has too your relationship with God. I remember going camping with my brother several years ago. We were up in Colorado. And we were sitting around the campfire and just asking him about how things were going. He was graduating from college and looking for work, a big step in one's life, you know. And every answer that he gave me was kind of like the answer that a kid would give their parent. Yes, no. And then he would say things like, well, I'm doing my best. And I had to stop him at one point and say, John, I'm not your parent. And yeah, he may be the youngest and I may be the oldest. But I want a real relationship with you. You know, I'm your brother. I want an adult relationship with you. You see, brothers and sisters, whether it's in our human relationships or our divine relationship, it must mature into a time of intimacy where we really get to know one another, where we can truly say we're friends, that we know each other through and through. Our human experiences, as good as they are just a foretaste. We have an opportunity right here to have intimacy with God through prayer and Eucharist. Eucharist, a one-flesh union between us and our Maker. Prayer, a conversation with our Beloved. These two come together in Eucharistic adoration. And if you do not yet have an hour of adoration in your parish, you need to get one. Because that is where your relationship will mature from simply an obligation or approaching God as the father who's got the big beard and gets angry, to a God who loves you intimately, who wants to know you through and through. St. John Chrysostom said this, "How many of you say, I should like to see his face. I would like to see his face, his garments, his shoes. How many of you would like to see Jesus in person? I would. Be pretty helpful. Love to have a conversation. Ask a few questions." He goes on to say, you do see him. You do touch him. You eat him. He gives himself to you not only that you may see him, but also to be your food and nourishment. Fulton Sheen said the greatest story, the greatest love story of all time, is contained in a tiny white host. John Paul II said, Jesus waits for us in the sacrament of love. Let us be generous with our time in going to meet him in adoration.